Hey, welcome to a new episode of Skin in the Game. This is your host, John Semperman, with my co-host,
Tim O'Shea. Hey, everybody. Hey, John.
I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. We are going to be talking everything arena, as far as arena expansions, renovations, or in this case,
transformations.
We have Nick DeLuca, who is the Senior Vice President, General Manager of what will be the newly renovated TD Coliseum in Hamilton, which, I don't want to date this episode too much, but the building is opening its doors at the end of November of 2025, after over 2 years of major redevelopment. So really excited to get Nick on the program.
And really excited for that first show at the arena too, which is
Sir Paul McCartney.
Yeah, you did it. We didn't get it with the unison. We did not plan this.
Well, yeah, they got a Beatle, which is exciting. So
yeah, that's an incredible. That's a coup for opening a building.
Yeah,
I would, you know, and especially we'll get into this with Nick, but you know, John, Hamilton's a secondary market, even in that, and I mean that in a very respectful way. But Hamilton's, you know, we'll describe it in the episode, but it's an hour or so, could be longer with traffic from Toronto,
right?
Where, you know, an artist of the size of Paul McCartney can sell out show after show. And it's only about an hour from Buffalo, where McCartney's also played and playing. So to get him to Hamilton to open a building on a personal level for Nick has got to be a memorable experience.
Sure.
On a business level, it really establishes that arena.
Yeah, well, I'm really bullish on the Hamilton market. You know, you take a look at the location, right? Strategically located. You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you take an hour drive, you run a circle around the center of Hamilton, you're probably looking at, 4 million people? And I'm not even talking about crossing to the east of Toronto. I'm just looking at that Mississauga, Oakville, Western New York. You know, that's a really great spot for this building. And I think if they continue, and they will, you know, bring some of these marquee national performers, I think they'll do quite well.
They really could. And, you know, John, it's one of those markets too, Hamilton, Toronto, Southern Ontario, where traffic patterns matter. And, you know, the best, you've lived around the country, I've traveled around the country a bunch, and I'm thinking of other cities where this would be true. Los Angeles is one. New York is one. To a degree, Chicago, Atlanta, there's several. Dallas comes to mind. But especially for anybody who's spent time in LA or New York, there could be, and there are, multiple major entertainment venues and sports teams, you know, which on a map, you know, mile to mile as a bird flies, are not that far away, right? You could go to hockey games, 45 miles apart,
right?
Probably not,
right?
Even in those cities. But the way the traffic works, you don't dare do it. Toronto's like that too. Toronto to Hamilton, there are people who, not that they'll never make that trip, but they may not want to make that trip, or vice versa, Hamilton to Toronto. So to have a world-class venue in a city that, you know, we'll describe, it's around the size of Buffalo, Hamilton is, to have the venue there and give those 4 million or so people that are, you know, in a
sure
reasonable drive of there, that could be a great, great model.
Right. Well, before we get to Nick, let's talk a little bit about what is trending in arena development. And there's been conversations in Boston, well, actually major renovations in Boston. They're talking about renovations in Buffalo. They're talking about major renovations in Nashville. Cleveland just went through probably a $700 million transformation of that building. And here's what all those buildings have in common. Let me just give you a list. United Center, Chicago. Rocket Fieldhouse in Cleveland, TD Garden, Boston, Moda Center, Portland, Wells Fargo, Philadelphia, KeyBank, Buffalo, the building in Tampa, the home of the Lightning, Nashville, the home of the Predators. All these buildings have in common is they were all built and opened between 1994 and 1996. And the other thing all these buildings have in common, they've all had major, and I'm talking $500 million plus renovations into these buildings. Actually, the renovations of these buildings are valued, even in today's dollar, at more than it cost to originally
right
build these buildings. So, and I think we talked about, as we'll talk to Nick about with the TD Coliseum in Hamilton, that's roughly a $300 million investment. So a little bit less than what we're seeing with some of these others. But, you know, this is, you know, this is the trend. All these buildings from the mid 90s are now going through it. And listeners of Skin in the Game, we're based here in Buffalo. There's going to be a, there needs to be a major, major face.
Yeah, I was going to say from that list you just gave, there's at least one arena that hasn't quite hit that. You know, the plans are there, the talk is there, but Buffalo is an arena that hasn't seen that. I was about to say facelift. It's way more.
No, than it's
that.
It's. I mean, and the
bone, renovation.
No, the bones of that building are good. I worked there. The bones are good, but the fan facing areas, the suites. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, how back in the day the suites were at the top of the building. Well, that's not far off with the Buffalo building. they could. So there's so much that can be renovated: concourses, food and beverage, premium areas. So that's one building that does need that renovation, because everybody else I've mentioned on that list, and you've been to Boston. Boston's a great example. That TD Garden has absolutely transformed that entire neighborhood.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's connected to other, you know, a business neighborhood and a historic neighborhood in Boston just by building out TD Garden. Now, couple differentiators from, say, Buffalo and Hamilton. I just created a new market there. TD Garden, of course, Boston is, you know, one of the, you know, top, what, five metro areas in North America. That's a differentiator for sure, much like Toronto would be too. It's built like the Toronto Arena, right by a train, really, in this case, like right into a train station. So you got public transportation coming right into it. But what Delaware North did, the owners of the Bruins, with TD Garden in Boston, was not only renovate the arena, but build a whole mixed-use complex around it. They've got hotels, restaurants, apartment buildings, your office tower. So they've done much more, but they're in a bigger area, so they can do that.
They can do that. But Nashville, while Nashville is rapidly growing and now bigger than a market like Buffalo, they're talking about a $1 billion renovation,
which is incredible,
and that's
for a hockey arena in the South too, right?
But that includes hotels, that includes multi-use, kind of that work, live, play development. So, you know, I do hope that, you know, markets like Buffalo, and I know this has happened in Cleveland, they think about the big picture. It's just not the building, but what can that building do to create vibrancy to the neighborhood that surrounds it.
And let me ask you, I know we got to jump to the interview soon, but I'm going to slip in a quick question for you here. So Nashville, huge entertainment city, right? Boston, just mega city, right? So you can see the mixed use and office towers and hotels and things like that. A place like Cleveland, which is sizable and much bigger than Buffalo, or Buffalo, could you, what would mixed use to you, what would good effective mixed use look like in one of those major league markets?
Downtown living, right? The more people who live downtown, the more people that go out to shop, the more people that go out to eat, that's for sure. Access, I know I'm a broken record, access to public transportation, centrally located. So I don't care what size the market is, you know, if you can attract more people to live downtown, if you can attract more ancillary dining pre, post game, that's a boost. And then yes, access to public transportation, make it easy to get in, easy to get out. So no matter what size the market, those are big boxes that need to be checked.
Sounds good. Well, should we learn more about the Hamilton market?
Let's do that. Stay tuned here to Skin of the Game with our guest, Nick DeLuco, who is just very involved in the renovations, transformations of TD Coliseum in Hamilton. Stay tuned.
Hey, football fans, check out the USA Wheelchair Football League Tournament, presented by Buffalo Toronto Public Media. Cheer on our very own Buffalo Bills as they face off with the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Browns.
It's picked off!
Head to the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel to stream it now.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back to Skin in the Game, and thrilled to have join us today is Nick DeLuco. Nick is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the TD Coliseum in Hamilton. Hey, Nick, thanks for joining us on Skin in the Game.
Appreciate it, guys. Look forward to chatting.
Exciting times up in Hamilton. But before we talk a little bit about the renovation, or I should say the transformation of the building, if you could just give our listeners a little bit of background on your role with the building and the organization.
Yeah, so I came on about a year ago now, November 15th, as the Senior Vice President and GM. So I kind of oversee all aspects of the venue, whether that's booking or marketing or finance, you name it, from top to bottom, kind of work with our team to build out the venue and obviously work on the construction side with the construction team to get us what we need for the venue and build a world-class facility that everybody in Hamilton and Southern Ontario and the region are proud of.
Nick, thanks for joining us. I'm going to ask you to give us the pitch on the building. You're there, you're living it, and you're about to open the doors. So when fans from Southern Ontario or anywhere come to Hamilton, what are they going to see?
$300 million reno. You know, it's crazy what you can do when you're not starting from the bottom. So we were able to kind of tear it down to the studs, redo pretty much everything inside that venue, whether it's sound and lights, a full new rigging system, brand new performer areas, 5 dedicated performer spaces, new concourses, new seating, new premium areas. We say transformational, brand new, whatever you want to go with. Truly a world-class venue and something that, again, everyone's proud of and something that you need to kind of see to believe. If you've seen this building, which it's 40 years old now, what you saw before and what you see now are completely different. And it's truly world-class and probably one of the nicest in North America.
The original building was Cops Arena, correct?
Cops Coliseum.
Research I did, it was originally built in 1985.
You bet.
The times have changed with arena amenities, arena development from 85 to 2025, that's for sure.
Totally. I mean, I don't know when the last time you were at the building was, but that building, which houses 18,000 people, had one concourse. So everybody that was upstairs came down. Everybody that was down came up and you kind of milled on one spot. You went to the same washrooms, you went to the same food and beverage locations. The renovations, we've blown out an entire new concourse. So more ease of access to the building, security measures enhanced, more food and beverage options, more washrooms. You know, it's all about quality and efficiency, and the guys did a great job in bringing that all together on the venue.
You know, Nick, I'm going to say this because I have to give John a reason to rip on me. You got me thinking, what is the last time I was at, Cops Coliseum at the time? It was, and I'm going to look at John for this, it was for a Hillary Duff concert. We don't have a Taylor Swift fan. Now you got the real dirt. I am excited to come. Yeah, I mean, you got Paul McCartney coming in. So Hillary Duff, Paul McCartney. We'll talk Sir Paul and you know, what's coming up at the arena. But before we get there, Nick, give us a little bit of a history lesson of how this renovation came about. Obviously, you know, we'll lay out a couple obvious things here. You take it from there. So the arena is about 40 years old. There comes a point where you got to make improvements. But you guys, I mean, it sounds like you almost, you could have built a new arena, right? You really, really transformed this place, and it's, you know, I'm stuck on this word transformation. So that's more than a renovation. What's the story behind it?
If you look at the Toronto market, the GTA, the Golden Horseshoe, there's only one venue of 18,000 seat capacity for almost 10 million people. You look at New York City as a comparable, I think you got 4 there in that area, a little bit more population, but generally speaking, the market had a need for another 18,000 seat venue. And being 45 minutes to an hour down the road from Toronto, that 10 million catchment area, it was a venue with great bones and great structure, which is why it didn't need to be fully torn down. So our company believes in these projects, they're owned and operated. Specifically, we did Baltimore, which was a similar reno a couple of years ago, and Co-op Live in Manchester, which is a new build out. But, you know, we've done this and we believe in these projects and we believed in the market and fell in love with Hamilton and the opportunity to invest the money, use it as a catalyst for growth in downtown Hamilton and, you know, revitalize downtown and bring amazing events and experiences to the city and the region and cross border as well with you guys. So,
Nick, you brought up, you know, the company, and I think it's important for our listeners to know that company is Oakview Group. And if you listen to Skin in the Game, we had Peter Luca on. But for our listeners who maybe haven't tuned into all 57 episodes of our program, can you give a little overview of Oakview Group and their role in this building?
Yeah, so OVG, in this building specifically, it's Oakview Group and Live Nation that are partners on this project. So, I mean, as a whole, Oakview Group is the biggest facility management company in the world. So we manage hundreds of venues across North America, Europe, all over the world. As far as that goes, that's kind of us in a nutshell. This falls into kind of our owned and operated projects where we're investing our own capital into that. and partnering with Live Nation on this one. So, you know, these are more operated in the pro mandate where there's investment, the expectation is greater, the shows are bigger, the quality is through the roof, exceptional. So that's kind of, you know, where we live with Oakview Group on the venue management side, and this project being a little different with Live Nation and a personal investment from us.
I can speak to, I've had the opportunity to see and experience a couple of the OVG buildings in Seattle and Climate Pledge Arena, and then also in Belmont, the home of the New York Islanders. So for our listeners who aren't familiar with OVG, you know, you've probably been in an OVG building at one point or another. So it's great that that expertise combined with your expertise is kind of combining for the Hamilton market.
For sure. I mean, the people we work with in this company and the experience that they have, you mentioned Peter, obviously he's been around forever and is a huge part of the company. Just the experience of the knowledge and the understanding of venues and how they operate and, you know, how to bring great events and great experiences to people is key to the success.
And then you brought up Live Nation, and I think that's a great segue because, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's really a kind of a music first, or at least concerts were a priority in this building. So if you could, first of all, am I correct in that research? And also just give us an idea of why music was so important.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a concert focus on it. All of our venues, we care intimately about the artist and the experience and how the sound and feel is for the artist. So, you know, we really focused on our back of house areas. Typically, when you go into arenas, teams with, you know, sport tenants, artists come in and you throw up some pipe and drape and they work out of a hockey locker room. Our goal was to give them a tailored experience where they have their own private lounges, they have separate spaces, their own high-end showers and washrooms, and just kind of dedicate and give them a different level than they would see in any other venue. I mean, as much as, you know, we tried to just change the game that way. So when they see you on a tour, you're 40 dates and you see the same thing 39 different times, you want to be different. And it's the back of house spaces, it's the rigging system, it's the new sound and lights, it's the acoustics, it's all that experience that we value so much in these venues, and we truly care about music, which is a lot different than venues that are typically sport and first.
Let me dig into that a little bit more too. So the, you know, obviously it's nice for the artist, and then, you know, along with sports, I've written a lot about music, spent a lot of time with musical artists, and, you know, I know firsthand, and John, you've spent a lot of time in the music industry, and you know firsthand how much artists appreciate that type of treatment, you know, and a great venue. Nick, talk about the competitive advantage that I'm assuming that gives you in terms of drawing in more artists. How does it help in that way, just from a business standpoint?
Yeah, it's a differentiator. When you prioritize that experience, and when artists know that you care about, you know, them coming into your venue and you give them a different experience, one that's better than anything else they see on a tour or any other venue they see, they remember that. And it's, you know, as much as it's a big industry, it's a small industry. There's agents and managers that, you know, manage a lot of the same people, and word of mouth travels fast. Having somebody that cares to that level and that degree and puts that much resources into creating a great experience for them, it goes a long way. And hopefully it goes a long way in developing relationships and bringing shows and content to the venue and to the market.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the target market, where you expect to draw, you know, your consumers from, where, you know, who's going to be filling the seats. I'll position it this way and ask you to go deeper. Hamilton is a city that's roughly the size of Buffalo, that's about an hour from Buffalo. And this next part is very traffic dependent. About an hour from Toronto, give or take. So, I mean, you know, draw a circle with Hamilton in the middle, and you've got millions of people. Who are you trying to draw in, and how does the market you're drawing from intersect with, you know, the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're taking that cold golden horseshoe, whether that's Toronto to the west, Burlington, Oakville, Kitchener-Waterloo, Hamilton, Stony Creek to the east, like that whole golden horseshoe is the target market. And like I said, sort of 10 million people in total, that catchment area. So we've put shows on sale, whether it was Bocelli or McCartney or Nine Inch Nails, and, you know, people are buying. And like you said, traffic is a consideration too. A lot of the times, if you live west of the city in Toronto, you don't want to go back downtown. So you can go the opposite way of traffic, come to Hamilton in 35 minutes, you know, get in out of the building. Traffic is less of a concern, and you're back home, you know, at 11 or 1130, where that might be 12, 1230, 1 o'clock, depending on what it looks like. So 10 million people from the shows we put on sale, we're catching a lot of that, again, golden horseshoe, whether it's Buffalo all the way around to Toronto. We've seen good purchasing power in that area. And, you know, that's the goal, is to fill that need that was there. And we think that, you know, Toronto's Toronto. When you come to Canada, you want to play Toronto artists, want to play that. But with two professional teams, NHL and NBA, weekends being a premium in that venue, sometimes artists can play three or four shows and maybe they can only fit one or two or three in Toronto. I'll take that four show all day and we can do that. We can play Toronto, we can play Hamilton, and we can sell tickets in both markets. So we truly believe that. And again, we truly believe that when the artist comes to Hamilton and sees the building and what we can offer them, that it's a game changer. And hopefully for tours down the road, they remember that and want to come back here.
That's a good point you touched on. You can complement their tour, because I was thinking out loud, you know, if there's an artist who's going to choose a venue in a DMA, do they choose Hamilton or Buffalo or Toronto? But there may be a little ways to do to a few markets for the right routing.
There's options for sure. We, like I said, firmly believe that this market is beyond big enough to sustain two, three or four shows, especially a major artist. Like, people will travel. Yeah. If there's times where we have to be competitive and, you know, you're going head to head for a show and it's got to be a deal, like, you know, we'll play that game. But at the end of the day, I can be complimentary to you and take two of three or one of three or one of two, sell them all out, and everyone's happy at the end of the day.
Right. Well, let's dive a little bit into the building. We've talked about kind of the music focus and the back of the house for the musicians. You know, what about the fan experience? Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned some of the premium areas and what fans can expect from an experience?
You're going to walk in that building probably the same gate you've walked in for 40 years, but the experience after that is going to be completely different. So last time we were in there, we were wanting for security. Now you have an open gate security system where you keep everything in your pockets. You walk through, if you get flagged, you get pulled over. If not, up you go. So goal is to put almost 9,000 people through those gates in less than an hour on that system, which is completely different than anything we've seen in the past. Getting up to the concourse, you know, enhanced food and beverage options, the hands-free grab-and-go stations where you just walk in, prepay, and you're out. We have a great partner in Maddie Matheson, who's also got a restaurant in the venue called the Iron Cow, which we're thrilled about. So we have some Maddie's patties and some other local Hamilton touches in there. I think I mentioned it, I've done two of these already today, so if I didn't, but we blew out an entire second floor concourse that didn't exist before. It was just storage in the old building. So people can get around the building, get to washrooms, get to concessions, be able to breathe a bit during a show. So that's completely different. And then the premium side, the suites, the lower level suites, we have bunker suites typically is what you see, but I think this is the first ever, you know, lower level suite where we blew out the entire lower bowl, give or take most seats. And you have a suite right there that you can walk out and sit in your seats and be 20 feet away from the stage, or if there's a lacrosse game, you're pretty much on the glass. So completely different experience and something that no one else has seen. And then we have about five premium lounges in the venue as well, which are, you know, game changers for this venue and would go head to head against any NHL venue as well. They're truly world-class and offer an experience that we've never seen here before.
We've seen in a lot of buildings, maybe a little bit more on the baseball side, these renovations where they have more of these communal kind of really cool standing room only areas. I know.
Hanging out.
I know the Rogers Center, that's a big part of what they did in the outfield. Any of those spaces in the building?
They're more in the lounge space. Like, we have a couple spaces at the end, two for sure that are on that side. They're more of a licensed product, not necessarily a general fan standing area per se. But yeah, definitely some different unique experiences for sure.
Let's talk a little bit more about the F&B, the food and beverage. You mentioned Maddie's Patties and some other Hamilton touches. Nick, we can never go wrong going deeper on food. So how did you connect with the local culinary scene when people come up to visit you? And, you know, if they want to fill their plate a couple of times, what can they get?
Well, I don't know if we're going to announce our deals before this comes out, but.
I don't know. I'm trying to scoop. Sorry. I didn't even know. I am a journalist. I'm supposed to get the scoop.
I know. You're asking the tough questions. So look, the Maddie's ones for sure. There's some interesting chicken options as well that are going to be a little different and something that Hamilton hasn't seen. And then some upscale stuff. Like, you know, you'll have the sushi stuff. You'll have your burgers and hot dogs in a typical fare, but, you know, more wide variety, some higher end stuff as well. And maybe some stuff you wouldn't have seen in Hamilton. And like I said, a few Maddie treats dropped in there as well.
I want to talk about like the changing consumer base, typically I would say the change in sports fans, you know, we'll broaden that to the change in customers, sports fans, music fans, just as you think over time, and you told us before we jumped on air here, you've been in this business for a couple of decades now. What do consumers expect nowadays that's a little different or evolved from 15 years ago?
I think it's more of an experience now. I mean, before I was just coming for the event, and you know, this speaks more to the sporting side too. which I've dealt with a lot. But, you know, you want to come in and you want to have a variety of, whether it's food options or lounge spaces or different experiences, merch areas. Fans expect a little more for, you know, what they pay for, and ticket prices are a little more now as well. So it's more of an experience and, you know, a night out, an opportunity to have some fun. But, you know, sometimes they want the higher end products too, and they want a variety of offerings. You know, it's giving them those opportunities, but it's also giving them a great experience. Like, you're paying a lot for events now, so you should have an excellent experience from the time you buy a ticket to the time you get into the venue and leave. So how do we do that? And how do we make that experience great for everybody?
I'm kind of looking and thinking about the neighborhood and ancillary business and ancillary economic positive activity. You know, we've seen a lot of these buildings have been really complements to their neighborhoods. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from the neighboring businesses?
Everyone's excited. I mean, realistically, there's been a lot of talk over the last decade or so of Hamilton, you know, redoing this venue, and it kind of had to come to fruition. So, you know, I think there's a bit of skepticism, but the reality is it's happening. $300 million are being poured into this building. Oakview Group as a company believes in Hamilton. We believe this is a catalyst for growth for downtown. And, you know, we're excited and we believe in the market. So the goal is to build the arena, you know, obviously grow hotels, bars, restaurants, bring people downtown that, you know, make those worthwhile hunches. And everyone's excited about that being the case.
I'm going to circle back to a point we were talking about before. It's just been kind of bouncing in the back of my head. So let me throw it out there. In terms of recruiting artists to come play in Hamilton, do you feel like you have to compete with Toronto or Buffalo, or is it a fairly clear, I don't want to say easy, but is it a fairly clear pitch that, hey, you know, if you only got those three nights in Toronto, come to Hamilton and, you know, as you're talking to other people, like, look at this Golden Horseshoe that you referred to, you can draw a lot more. Do you, how much selling or convincing or persuasion is involved in that?
I think it's an education process. I mean, I think people always knew Hamilton existed and we have this 18,000 seat venue, but, you know, over the last year, we have a great booking team and we've had hundreds of meetings with agents and managers just to kind of, you know, it gives us an opportunity to talk about Hamilton. It gives us an opportunity to show them pictures and talk through the market. And, you know, it's a re-education and they have to believe in us. And with Oakview Group and what we've done in the past, we have that, you know, we have that belief in that system of what we do. So just educating and then, you know, trusting us that we're going to put the product out there. And then at the end of the day, we sell tickets.
Right. And I think that is, and Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's kind of the beauty of being part of this Oakview Group network of buildings, as well as the partnership with Live Nation, is, you know, you have a little bit more clout with these promoters and with great buildings you're already a part of, you've got that track record.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the OVG Live Nation partnership is a great one. Obviously, Live Nation being the provider and the best content provider in the world is a great partner in any project. And they're excited about it too. And they believe in Hamilton and the market. And, you know, as a partner financially as well, they're excited and want to drive content and believe in what we're doing here.
Nick, talk to us a little bit about how sustainability has been part of the design. And you know, it sounds like something you've kept in mind from the very start of this project.
Yeah, I mean, it's a priority for most Oakview Group owned and operated projects as well. I mean, the biggest one for us that I always reference is just the fact that we didn't build a new building. We refurbished an old one. I mean, the footprint, the carbon footprint tied to that in itself is huge. But then it's the lighting, it's the water system. Like, the building's 40 years old. So all these upgrades that we put in to manage electricity, water flow, all of that stuff is all tied into this project holistically. But yeah, the biggest one is the reno as a whole.
I'm going to switch gears here. I'm going to get into one of my favorite topics. We're going to do a little sports careers.
Okay,
John. Okay, so Nick, I'm just thinking of pulling back from the arena for a moment and just looking at, you know, your title, your job, your career. So Senior Vice President, General Manager, TD Coliseum. Right now, I mean, I think it's very clear to anybody listening, you've been a really busy guy in your team. You've been leading a busy team of people for quite some time now. Once the building gets open, we'll get more into what that looks like, but once it's open and once you've got a sense that, okay, hey, things are going smoothly, what's next for, and I don't mean like where are you going to work next, I mean day to day, what do you focus on? What does that job look like once you've got it open and running smoothly?
Well, I mean, getting any building open and running smoothly is, you know, the first year is always up and down and trying to figure out the venue and what that looks like. But the goal is always to, and always will be, to drive more content and events to Hamilton and to the venue. So working with our booking team, doing unique events that maybe we haven't seen. Like, we haven't seen a UFC here. Maybe it's a WWE event, or maybe it's something different that you're out, you know, you're out pounding the pavement with your booking team trying to find. But the goal at the end of the day is to, on top of developing great people, is to drive events and drive revenue to the venue.
And not to ask you to scoop something you can't. So always feel free to scoop.
I can't. I don't have a UFC or WWE pay-per-view, I swear.
There goes that. Now, so are there types of events that you see opportunity to bring to Hamilton that you can talk about? Like types of, you know, just types of events that are entertainment, sports, music, otherwise entertainment events that you see happening at other, you know, around the country, around either country, both countries in North America, but hasn't quite hit the Hamilton market yet.
Well, the two I just mentioned are good ones to go after right away. You know, WNBA is a big one right now. Obviously popularity is high, great fan base. That's always something we can look at and have discussions. Basketball as a whole, like even whether that's NCAA exhibition games or things that haven't really touched Canada in a lot of ways, I think we could do some unique stuff with that. Women's hockey as well. PWHL is a great product, as much as, you know, concert focused and et cetera, we can still put ice in and we can still run a great arena. So those are opportunities. World Junior Hockey Championships is another opportunity that, you know, hasn't been here in a while. There's a lot, especially on the sporting side. Junos, the Junos is a big one for us, the award show. So we're getting them here in March, which will be great to showcase the venue to the whole country, which is a big one. And obviously we can't do that every year, but it's a great, great way to highlight the venue in its opening year as well. Yeah, there's tons of stuff, especially on the sporting side, and definitely some live events and award shows. CCMAs could be another one that makes a lot of sense for us.
Well, Nick, we pitch a lot of ideas here on Skin in the Game, and most of our listeners know, you know, we record and produce this show in Buffalo, New York. So maybe we work with you, and maybe there's we bring back, yeah, like you said, the International Junior Hockey, and they, you know, they split between some games in Buffalo and some games in Hamilton. Or let's talk to our friends at the NHL, and maybe the World Cup of Hockey, or, you know, that event kind of is shared between the two markets. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, all options are on the table. And, you know, when you have a person like Peter Lukko involved, who has every connection there, Peter's a great partner and ambassador for us. And, you know, if we can do anything in the NHL, it's with Peter's help for sure.
Yeah. Well, you brought up hockey too. What, is there anything that, any plans to bring a team back to the market, or is that too early to tell?
Wouldn't you love to drop that news right now, eh?
You see us trying and trying and trying.
Well, I know every listener right now was like, what are they going to ask the question about hockey? Yeah.
Yeah.
I got through the last one. No one asked me. Yeah. No, look, Hamilton's a great hockey market. You know, they have a passion for hockey. Nothing's off the table, but we got to get open, get the building sorted, get everything ready. And who knows what the future holds. But I think everybody, both on this call and around this area, know how passionate Hamilton is about hockey. And we hear it, and we'll see what the future holds.
But you do have chillers. You do have glycol capability. So,
oh, yeah, we can do the hockey here. We can do the hockey.
What is the projection, either the first year or forward, kind of the annual number of event nights?
Goal is to do over 100 event nights a year, about 800,000 people for sure would be the goal for the arena only. So good targets, aggressive targets. Obviously, the goal every year is to beat those numbers. It's my job. That's our job as a whole, beat those numbers.
Yeah. Well, let's you know, as we start to wrap up on this interview, and again, Nick, thanks for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about opening night and opening schedule. What can fans, you know, throughout the Golden Triangle, what can they look forward to?
I hope they can look forward to coming to a world-class facility. Again, I've said this a million times, but I don't think anyone that's ever seen this venue in the last 40 years will recognize it when they come in. So I think you're going to see an absolute world-class legend in Paul McCartney, which is, you know, having Paul open your venue alone is second to none. But getting to come in and see that transformation is going to be something that I think everybody is talking about after the first show. And being a small piece of getting this done, it's, you know, it's an honor to be able to do that and to showcase this venue to everybody.
And how do you, forgive perhaps an oversimplified question, Nick, but how do you get ready for a Paul McCartney show that's also the opening of the venue? Like, what are the days leading up to that show look like for you?
Well, you hire a great team. There's a lot of production. There's a lot of folks on our event side, event security, fan experience. Like, all of this training needs to happen. We'll get occupancy ideally on the 14th. So we'll have that week to kind of train a lot of our staff on site, you know, get food and beverage rolling. There's 300 or 400 staff that got to work that too. So I mean, there's a lot that goes into it on top of a construction being done and complete and ready. It's a great team. Everybody kind of knows the task and knows the assignment, and they're excited. Nothing's going to get in the way of getting Paul in here and giving him a great night and a great experience in Hamilton.
Well, kudos to you and the team for landing a beetle for opening night. That's going to definitely put the building on the map. You know, what are some of the other events planned for the first month of the building opening?
Yeah, we got a busy week. We got a bit of a break after the opening, kind of some day two stuff we'll finish up. But then, you know, we roll into Bocelli and MGK and Jonas Brothers, I think are three that are immediately into December. And then I think Matt Rife is in there. Nine Inch Nails went on sale. We got 31 events on sale in total. So it's tough to keep track of a lot of them as they keep coming out. It feels like every week we're announcing two or three or four shows, which is amazing. So it'll be a busy December, and then January, February, March will roll into the first quarter and keep the shows coming and keep us busy.
Yeah, I think I saw the Globetrotters might be making their way up there as well, right?
Globetrotters will be there. I've got a whole list. I can't even read half of it. Monster Jam, Ace, we got some K-pop in there. Brad Paisley's happening. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Hardy Offspring, live. 31 shows in total. So it's a good, healthy number. Again, we got to sell tickets, and then we'll keep bringing more shows up.
Yeah, well, hopefully our conversation here will remind our listeners that there's a state-of-the-art building that's just down the road. So encourage them to visit you and visit Hamilton. It's really a great, great market, and I think it can make a nice couple of days for a visit.
And a nice, nice sports market. You know, I've been to Hamilton a few times recently for some Ticat games in the CFL, Canadian Football League. What an incredible sports market. We spent a lot of time talking about music, which is fantastic. And I'm so excited to come see you guys for a concert. But, you know, and on top of that and around that, what an incredible sports market. So whether you can get in hockey or, you know, any of the many sports options, right there in Hamilton alone, you're going to have a rabid fan base that's ready for that.
Very much. Hamilton fans are passionate and always, whether that's music or sports or anything for the locals. So put things here, let's be successful with it, and let's keep growing that. And now that we have an amazing facility, it only helps our cause.
Very good. Well, Nick, we appreciate you joining us here on Skin in the Game.
Appreciate it, guys. Look forward to getting you up to Hamilton soon, and you can check out the new venue.
Yeah, well, Nick, best of luck to you and the team. Please tell Sir Paul McCartney that the host of Skin in the Game said hello.
I will absolutely do that for you guys.
He's waiting to come play tambourine up on the stage there too.
Hey, Nick, thanks again, and appreciate the time. I know you're super busy, and best of luck to you and the entire team on the grand reopening of the TD Coliseum in Hamilton.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, that was a great conversation. Tim and I will be right back after this.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place, and to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
From your morning commute to quiet evenings at home, Buffalo Toronto Public Media is always there with trusted news, inspiring stories, and timeless music. It's your connection to a world of wonder. This is Public Media.
Hey, welcome back to Skin in the Game. And again, thanks to Nick DeLuco from the, what I would say would be the transformational TD Coliseum in Hamilton. Nick's a very busy guy right now. They're opening up the building and thrilled that he could give us some time. So again, thanks, Nick. And Tim, great enlightening conversation.
Yeah, I like the use of that word transformation. And then, you know, when we started talking about sustainability, renovating or transforming the existing building versus building a new one, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget. That might be one of the most sustainable things you can possibly do, right? Don't clear out more land, use the structure that you have. So we'll start with that about what an interesting and hopefully great project this is.
Yeah.
And it builds from there.
Well, what's interesting is, as we talked about earlier in the program, there was this huge trend. All these buildings were built in the mid-90s, right? This big, big trend in the cities this building was actually pre that I would say that boom with in 85. So I've got to believe, and I've never been to Cops Coliseum pre-renovation, but I've got to believe, knowing the buildings I've been in from that era, whether it's the LA Forum, Philadelphia Spectrum, or as you know, with my Cleveland roots, the Richfield Coliseum, those buildings were one concourse. Everybody was crammed into the, you know, one concourse. You go up, you go down. Much different than what you see with these buildings today.
Those type of buildings, and I was in the Richfield Coliseum, and I was in Cops Coliseum. And yes, Cops Coliseum was for Hilary Duff. Although I remember there being so many wrestling matches there that wasn't even WWE yet. It was WWF. Richfield Coliseum.
Who did you see at the Richfield Coliseum?
Hulk Hogan.
What are you WWF. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So an interesting thing about those buildings was how close you could get to the performers. And I, you know, we don't know yet if that's going to be true in the TD Coliseum. But those older buildings... Yeah, because it's one big concourse. It's one big everything.
Right.
Yeah, you're too close to the people you were, you know, you're sitting around. You were close-ish to the performers, depending where you were positioned. These modern buildings, the ones we're talking about now, are really driven, as Nick was saying, by fan experience.
Right, right.
Those older buildings, those building, you know, circa 1980s-ish buildings, right, were really there for one reason. We will provide you a concourse with seats and you can come watch.
Yeah.
Picket, hockey, wrestling, whatever.
Here's the funny thing. If you think back, and we're dating ourselves, but if any of our listeners are of a certain age where they were in buildings in the 70s and the 80s, if you remember, the luxury suites were the afterthought. They were at They were at the top of the building. So think about it. The people who were paying the most were the farthest from the court in those old buildings.
Oh, the nosebleed. Yeah, I mean, the suites and the nosebleed seats were one and the same.
Right.
I mean, at that point, and yeah, we were getting very nostalgic here. And apologies to anybody who's like, maybe talk about 2025. We'll get right there. Stick with us. Yeah, I mean, back then, and I wasn't in them back then, but I mean, those suites were essentially a place where if you just wanted to be able to stand, maybe use your own bathroom. Probably not back then.
Yeah.
That's really what they were. It was just the equivalent of not having to cram into a, you know, a tight row.
Right. Well, fast
things
forward.
Things have changed.
Fast forward. Think about the arena in Toronto, or now as Nick talked about the new building or the renovated building in Hamilton. The trend now is these bunker suites, right? So in some cases they're actually below the floor, but you are literally sitting on the court. So the entire trend, which started with these suites basically in the last row,
right,
now they've moved down to that floor level of the building.
And the suites are going where I think they were probably always intended to go. And the bunker suite, you see them in football stadiums too, these bunker suites. They're pretty cool. Have you sat in one?
I haven't, but I did tour the bunker suites at SoFi, which, you know, you're literally... first of all, the players are walking by you on their way from the locker room to the field. And then, yeah, you're basically standing where the coaches are in many cases.
And I've seen a few of them. One was at in Vegas at the Pro Bowl, so the NFL stadium there. And right in the, if I have my stadium straight, yeah, right in the end zone, you can sit right down there and a guy catches a touchdown pass, you're eye level with him. It's kind of the same view that if the photographers, like the news photographers that you see on TV, you're only a few steps behind them, you know, which is a pretty cool place to be. The soccer stadium in Columbus, Ohio. There's a lot of examples. You and I could go on and just start picking them off.
Yeah, but times have changed, and
yeah,
the trend is there's more investment in the premium seats. There's more investment in that overall experience.
Stadiums and arenas,
absolutely,
and baseball stadiums too. Sure. I should say. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Everything has evolved. Other interesting conversation is how the new building in Hamilton, I should say the newly renovated building in Hamilton, is really going to be focused on music. And I really think with their focus on back of house, their focus on acoustics, I mean, it's going to be a building that's, you know, while Nick didn't want to say we're competing with the building in Buffalo or competing with the building in Toronto, they're going to be competing.
They
with
kind
the
of are.
Sure.
Yeah, they sure are. And I'll ask you, I don't think you haven't booked music acts at major, like at arena size venues, right? You've done some
festival
work and that.
Right.
And I think you can tell me if this question doesn't translate. I'm pretty sure it does. How important are the amenities and the other, you know, the soft touches that you can provide an artist versus simply, here's the deal, here's the contract, this is the money, you know, we're going to guarantee you to make, that type of thing?
Well, it is important. It's a differentiator. And I know, you know, Nick mentioned it is a differentiator. Agents talk, promoters talk. But the other part of it is, too, the cost of putting on a show, right? It's more expensive to, you know, to put on a show in a bigger venue like Madison Square Garden, you know, than it is in some of the secondary and tertiary markets. So I think that'll come into play. But the bottom line, it is important, you know, all things equal, and, you know, how much you're going to pay the talent and, you know, the load in and load out operations and the dates, all things equal, those qualitative benefits do make a big deal.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, well, a couple of things. They've got, 30, 40 dates already booked. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like more that he wasn't quite ready to tell us. And Nick, we understand. But it'll be interesting to see over time if they can get that fourth show that might have, you know, been in Toronto, three in Toronto, one in Hamilton. I don't know that there's, you know, the other big city that's in the vicinity is Buffalo. I don't know that there's an equivalent, but it'll be interesting to kind of see what the routing looks like with an arena of that size that is that new with Live Nation booking in the vicinity of two other music markets, Toronto, which is huge, and Buffalo, which is secondary, but still pulls in big acts, including Paul McCartney.
The other thing, Tim, is, the elephant in the room was hockey.
Oh, I'm good. Sorry, I was about to hit. May I ask the question?
Well,
I saw you going there.
Well, first of all, just for our listeners, you know, Hamilton has a strong hockey tradition, American Hockey League. So they have a tradition. Obviously, fans in Canada are.
Yeah, and we can't say enough about sports fans in Hamilton, too. It's a city that's big enough to have a lot of them and tight enough, small enough, where it has that feel of, like, you know, in a sense of Green Bay or Buffalo, those, you know, some of those smaller markets that just love their teams or their sport in this case, which leads me to, should Hamilton have a hockey team?
Well, Hamilton should absolutely have a American Hockey League, East Coast Hockey League, Ontario Hockey League, absolutely. It'd be a great market. But I think the bigger question is, you know, could it attract a National Hockey League team? And I know that's taboo to talk about because, you know, the Sabres and the Maple Leafs are very, very protective of their markets. But think of the size of the GTA. There's one hockey team in Toronto. I would argue the GTA could support three. New York.
Oh, easily. I mean, New York supports three.
New York supports three. Los Angeles supports two. So, you know, just so, you know, I also think, and there was talk years ago, actually, when I was with the Sabres about, you know, should Hamilton have a National Hockey League team? And again, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too far, but I just think from a competitiveness, from a rivalry, from a, you know, fan support, it could be pretty cool. Do I think it's going to happen? I'm not betting on it, absolutely. But in the meantime, Professional Women's Hockey League, in the meantime, American Hockey League, there's other great hockey programming out there, but wouldn't it be cool if they had an NHL team?
I would, well, yes, and I'm going to come right back to it. I'd love to see a PWHL team, the Professional Women's Hockey League team there. You and I know from, you know, previous interviews on Skin in the Game, the PWHL is generally looking for arenas that have, what, like 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000?
Yep.
This is 2-3 times that, but think about the market. Toronto has a PWHL team, which is, you know, very successful.
Right.
But plays in an arena that seats less than 10,000. There could be a real market for that league in Hamilton. And in that market, in that hockey market, you can draw from the GTA, you can draw from the rest of Southern Ontario. And I absolutely think you could draw from Buffalo. And I think in a really meaningful way. Let me ask you this, though, about an NHL team in Hamilton. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's not going to dent the Maple Leafs in any way. The Maple Leafs would be 100% just fine. What about the Sabres?
You know, the numbers show, you know, 10 to 15% of the season ticket base or the fan base for the Sabres is Canadian. You know, those numbers go above 50% when the Leafs or the Canadians are in town. You know, I would look at it more as, you know, all kind of lifting all boats, right? More rivalry, more competition, more growth of the sport. So, you know, I think it would compete with them? Maybe a little bit, but I think more so it would help just build more passion among both those fan bases. But again, Tim, we're not here on Skin of the Game to predict that. That is not happening. But I do like what you're
saying. You do like to dream, though.
I do like what you're saying with Professional Women's Hockey League. And here's the thing. The Oakview Group, who manages and it has invested in this building, is also vested in the building in Seattle, who is going to have a new expansion Professional Women's Hockey League team. So I think they're going to be able to check that out, see how that works in that bigger building, and then potentially bring it to Hamilton. And from what I understand, you know, the Toronto team, women's team, does very well. So there's a natural rivalry as well. So I would think that happens before we see National Hockey League.
And I hope it does. I really hope it does. I mean, just my opinion, I hope it does happen.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic for the sport, the league and the sport.
Right.
Like the sport of hockey and for kids, young boys and young girls who are playing hockey. So yeah. Absolutely, I hope it happens. You've opened some buildings in your life, John.
Yep.
And so I have a two-parter for you here. I'll throw them both to you at the same time. How big a deal is it for the TD Coliseum to be opening with Paul McCartney? And as you're thinking about that, take us back to who are some of your big opening acts in your
life? The fact that they got Paul McCartney for an opening is great. You only have one opening night. And, you know, that is historic. So that's awesome for them. I remember when we were opening the building in Cleveland, it was Eric Clapton on night one, and it was Billy Joel on night two, and Sir Elton John on night three. So we packed in some
trio of legends.
Yeah, yeah. So no, kudos to them. It's going to be a great historic night for the Hamilton building, the TD Coliseum. So really excited for them and excited for this whole region to experience that building. And with that, we want to thank Nick DeLuco from the TD Coliseum for joining us here on Skin in the Game. And also thank you for listening.
See you next week, everybody.
This is a production of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. Thanks for listening.